another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And we're back for another new episode after a week's break. And we took a week break because I thought I was going to go out of town, and then I didn't go out of town.
Yeah.
So we probably could have done a show.
You know what's funny? It's like I was hoping that you didn't go out of town because I never heard anything back whenever you're talking about going out of town.
Yeah.
I was supposed to let the dog out, and I was like, did I not leave the dog out, or did I do the right thing by just staying home and not going over there? I don't know.
Those are moments you get when you get older. It's funny. Like, I do things like earlier. Mm-hmm. I tweeted that we were recording. Yeah. By the way, our new Twitter is at Rebel Radio Pod. For those of you that aren't following it yet, we had to make a new Twitter because Twitter is a fuck smack
evil
and
evil Twitter.
So, and I tweeted our names, our personal Twitters in there, like Mark and Matt at our Twitter names are recording tonight. And I'm even like, who the hell's? I got a notification like, who the hell's talking about me? And I was talking about myself. You know, so
I'm talking
happens.
About myself.
Like, you forgot? Did I let the dog out? Did I not?
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens, you know. And maybe it's like old age. I don't know.
It could be old age.
And so, what's been going on with you the last couple weeks?
You know, just waiting, anticipating these great movies that are going to come up. There's great movies afoot, and they will be here in the blink of an eye. But we'll wake up and then, you know, we probably would have missed opening night. And then we're, oh, crap, we got to get tickets.
Yeah, we're only about 4.5 weeks away from Infinity War, which a new trailer came out. We'll talk about later.
Yes.
And after that, it's bam, bam, bam. It's Infinity War, Deadpool, Star Wars. Shit, I don't even, there's so much coming out. It's like, we'll probably do a whole summer movie preview here soon.
We're going to have to.
You know, because it's,
there's a lot.
Ant-Man and Wasp this summer. I'm trying to think. There's got to be some stuff I'm not. It's weird because DC only has one movie this year, and it's not till November with Aquaman.
Yeah.
Where you're getting Star Wars early instead of getting in Christmas.
Yeah. You know,
they have Han Solo come out in May.
What's going to go on in Christmas this year? I forget.
Mary Poppins.
Oh, Mary Poppins.
No.
Is it going to star Rando?
And Aquaman. So, you know, Aquaman. Which, you know, man, when I was off, I rewatched Justice League.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still don't hate the movie.
I don't hate it.
It's entertaining, but it's funny. I noticed the bad CGI watching on Blu-ray. It's like, this is some bad CGI. I didn't really pay attention that much in the theater because I was just trying to take it all in. But watching it on Blu-ray, it's like, wow, some of this is really bad. But some of this is really good.
I like you said, it's an entertaining movie. And, you know, the worst enemy, it's like, it's funny, I saw this meme the other day, and it said the Avengers' worst villain, and it shows Thanos, and it says DC's worst villain, and it shows Rotten Tomatoes, and Rotten Tomatoes does not do DC justice. Okay, obviously, you know, they have some work to do with their movies, you know, when compared to a lot of Marvel films. You know, stacking the best DC films, you know, you'd have to go back to Nolan. Nolan's DC films will, you know, can go up against any Avengers movie, any Marvel movie.
Right.
Toe-to-toe. These new ones, yeah, they need a little bit of work. You know, we all know DC's stronger in animation.
I did enjoy Man of Steel.
Yeah. That's my favorite one so far.
And I think there's hope. I like Jason Momoa's Aquaman.
I like Wonder Woman, too.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was great. Yeah. So I don't think, you know, everyone wants to judge them against Marvel. But let's be fair. It's only been 5 movies. Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Wonder Woman, Suicide Squad, and Justice League. So, yeah, 5. And only 2 of them have been really good. I would say Man of Steel and Wonder Woman. And one of them has been okay, Justice League. And Suicide Squad has its lover, so I'll say it's okay, too.
Yeah.
I didn't like it that much. Yeah. I thought it was a mess of a movie.
You like certain characters.
Batman vs. Superman is probably the weakest of the 5. So, but they're not so far off. Marvel wasn't perfect. Incredible Hulk introduced a lot of elements that we never heard from again.
Nope.
You know, the leader, the idea of other super soldiers, like, oh, this just disappeared. I don't think Ant-Man's that great. And there might be listeners out there who go, oh my God, you don't like Ant-Man? I think it's a repeat of Iron Man.
It's a change of pace.
I think Ant-Man should have been introduced in another film before he was in his own film, just like Black Panther was.
Mm-hmm.
So the first couple Thor movies are just okay. But for some reason, Marvel gets this pass. And maybe it's just because DC came in the game a little late. Maybe that's why. Because Marvel started their universe when DC was in the middle of the Dark Knight trilogy in 2008.
Yes.
There was no DC film universe at that point.
And then Christian Bale signed a thing where he was only going to do 3 Batman movies. He didn't want to be known as Batman, which I was like, why would you not want to be known as Batman? Look at his career after that. It's like he's made American Hustle wasn't bad.
Right.
You know, I like that. I did like the that boxing movie with
The Fighter.
The Fighter, that was good.
And I want to see Hostel still. It should be out digitally here in the next week or two.
But man, imagine if he would have stuck as Batman, because he complained that he had to lose weight for one role and then gain a bunch of weight for the next role. Obviously, The Fighter, he had to basically look like a crack addict, because he was. Yeah. And then, you know, he had to gain all this weight for American Hustle. If he would have just stayed, you know, doing all those push-ups, you know, and lifting bloody logs.
He's one of those actors that, you know, they think they're classically trained and they don't want, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Maybe the Prestige went to his head doing the Prestige.
But, you know, I'm still looking forward to Aquaman and Wonder Woman 2 and what they hold in the future. I really want to see Affleck do a solo Batman film. I know he's kind of interested in moving on already, but I hope he sticks around for the solo movie at least.
He's kind of grown on me as Batman.
Yeah.
I liked him more than I thought I would. I was a little worried at first.
Yeah, I do too. I think he's fine. I'm still not sold on Jeremy Irons as Alfred.
Yeah.
Just because...
different.
I mean, we had these guys like Michael Kauf, who did it in the original Batman films in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He was great. Michael Caine was great. So it's like Jeremy Irons just... because Jeremy Irons always kind of played these badasses. Like,
yeah.
So I kind of think, I guess maybe that's what they wanted. They wanted Alfred to be more of a badass.
I could see that, because it seems like the DC universe is like taking what's in the comic books and raise it up a little raise it up a notch. And it's like, you know, Aquaman's trident, it's got five prongs.
Right.
So it's like, you know, we're going to add to everything. We're going to have two prongs to that trident.
But there is hope for the DC universe.
No, there is. There's
good
things. We have
Teen Titans Go! The Movies coming out this summer.
Yes.
With fart jokes.
And
the kids are excited, obviously, for that. And I'm sure I'll be sitting in the theater watching it with him.
Yep.
Wyatt just turned 3, so that might be his first movie. Might take him to see Teen Titans Go! This summer.
That could be.
It could be his first movie-going experience, because he gets a little upset when me and Mikey go to the movie and he's left out. He's still a little, but that one might be... you know, that he can see.
Mm-hmm.
As for me, I guess, I've watched a lot of movies, which I'll talk about and download this later. Or maybe in a minute. You know what? We might do a change of pace and do download this a little earlier.
We could download this early.
Other than that, I don't really get personal in the podcast very often, but I'm feeling personal today. Okay. And I didn't want to do this in the last show because I love Frank like a brother. You know, our other podcaster only does shows every now and then.
That brother that you punch in the
Frank,
stomach.
If I had talked about this on the show, it would have been, woe is me. Oh, man, I'm here for you, brother. And I don't want it to be that, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not looking for sympathy, but just going through some health things right now. You know, I've had some blood work done and, you know, it's a normal checkup. And, oh, guess what? Your blood sugar's high. So they said I'm diabetic. And so I've been eating right. And exercising every day. I've lost 14 pounds since February 25th-ish, around there, since they told me this. And I feel good about it.
Yeah.
I don't want it to be a down thing. And this is a knock on you, Frank, if you're listening. We love you, man. It's just, but I know you, brother. You'd be like, oh, man, he already told me. I'm all worried about you, man. And I'm cool, man. I just have to do good. I have to take care of myself. I'm taking it as a positive.
Yeah.
It's a struggle every day since February 25th to make sure you eat right and drink right and not go back to your bad habits. But I've got good family and friends, and I'm going to do it. And this may sound cliche, but I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan, and we all know what he just went through.
That's true.
And I've been listening to his podcasts all the time. I listen to a lot of Kevin Smith shows, almost all of them. I also listen to our local podcasters here. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Every day when I'm in the car picking up Michael for school, I got a show going. But Kevin Smith, man, and I'm reading his book that he put out called Tough Shit. He put out a few years ago. Man, this guy has always been inspirational to me, but he's more inspirational. The things he did to get his movies made, and and now with what happened to him, turning his life around, and my wife's like, oh, Kevin Smith this, but she's a little bit younger. I'm a cradle robber. I'm married a younger woman. So she doesn't understand the huge influence Kevin Smith had for any of us that grew up with him in high school.
Mm-hmm.
1994, man, I was a junior in high school, and Clerks came out, and I was like. And it changed the way I viewed films, man. I was a hardcore action science fiction guy. I didn't watch independent films a lot. And a black and white movie? I'm like, what's that for my parents? That's old.
Yeah.
You know? And not that I hadn't seen black and white movies. I had seen To Kill a Mockingbird. I had seen old films that I enjoyed. But I wasn't, you know, in high school, you're kind of like, yeah, that's old people shit. You know? And so Kevin Smith has been a huge influence on me. He's one of the reasons I podcast, along with friend of the show, Kerry Gordon. He's also a guy who's influenced me to be better at podcasting, because when I met him, I was telling him I was thinking about launching a show, and he encouraged me to do it. So he's a local guy. He's not a celebrity. He's a friend of mine, but then there's Kevin Smith, the celebrity. So, you know, and so I'm going to do this thing, man. I'm going to continue to lose weight and do better. And so that's what I've been doing the last couple of weeks, just dealing with the mental aspects of coming to terms with a change in your life, you know? Yeah. So, and I'm not looking for sympathy, but, you know, if y'all want to send me sympathy notes, you know.
Yeah. but send them away. But, yeah, man. Yeah, Frank would definitely smother you. And, you know, he means the best.
Oh, man,
you know,
the guy,
big heart.
The shirt off his back, but not that we want to see him with no shirt on, but he would do it.
Yeah.
And that's just how he is. So, you know, let's change things up, because we have some big news to talk about later, and that's going to take some time talking about Toys R Us closing. But before we get to Planet of the Apes, which is our feature movie today, let's do Download This real quick. And this Download This is what we've been watching and downloading lately, or streaming. And, man, I've watched a shit ton of movies the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And I watched The Shape of Water, which is fantastic. I don't know if it's Del Toro's best. I'm still a big Pan's Labyrinth guy. And we're going to be doing a Del Toro movie next show, which we'll talk about at the end here. And The Shape of Water is not what you expect. It's so well done. I don't know if it's the Best Picture winner, because I didn't watch them all. I don't really care. Like, I like the Oscars, and I'll watch them. But I'm not, like, hardcore about them, because I'm like, I like what I like. And that's why we do the podcast now with movies. We're doing movies we like, movies we dig.
Talk about what we want to talk about.
But Shape of Water, certainly, if it was the best movie, it deserved it, because I thought it was really good. Enjoyed the crap out of it.
Did you see where, like, I'd never seen Splash before, but it's...
Yeah,
it's,
I saw that thing you put up. Yeah. I mean, I probably watched Splash years ago, but...
This is obviously, this looks a whole lot better than Splash. Yeah. Splash was more like a romantic comedy.
Right, right.
This is more like a science fiction drama.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah.
I don't want to talk too much about Del Toro, because we're going to be talking about him a lot next week. But the guy is just... it's a master storyteller.
He is. And
Universal Pictures, why they did not let him reboot their Universal Monsters is beyond me. Because he wanted to do it. And then he's like, well, I'll just go make my own monster movie. And that's what Shape of Water is. I also watched Murder at the Orient Express. That was okay. It's kind of a whodunit. You watch it, you forget Clue. It. It's nothing great. But it was okay. And I watched a movie that Frank was here to talk about. It's an old 80s film called Rad, which is not available on DVD anywhere. You can only bootleg it. It's become public domain because no studio owns the rights. So it's legal to make bootlegs and share it.
Yeah.
And Frank paid $20 last year at the rodeo for a bootleg copy of it that's pan and scan, taken off an old VHS or off a television broadcast, for who knows. I found a nice, crisp, clean, widescreen copy taken from a Laserdisc source, because it has been released in Laserdisc in Japan, and it looks great. And I didn't pay a damn thing for it. Downloaded that torrent, put on my Plex app, and watched my PlayStation 4.
Nice.
And I'm like, yeah, bitchin'. It's a cool 80s flick. It's definitely something you have to grow up with. Like, if you watched it now, Matt, you probably wouldn't like it. And it's just because it's one of those movies that you have to grow up watching. I'm sure there's something from the 90s that I probably think sucks that you probably like, that you kind of have to grow up watching.
I'm wondering. You know, I almost forced myself to like Double Dragon, because I just liked me and my me and my cousin. You know, we're like brothers. Before we had to, you know, there's an animated show, and to activate their Double Dragon powers, they would say, "For might, for right, we are Double Dragons."
I remember that.
And they'd clash their swords together, and so we did that every single time we left each other. So we love Double Dragon, and it's just so heartbreaking how horrible that movie is. It's bad, man. It is so bad. I think maybe Super Mario Brothers is better, man.
Well, it's funny, not to go off on a tangent, because you have to tell us what you've been downloading, but, you know, Nintendo, ever since was it the creator, owner, whoever it was that died last year? You know, he never licensed anything out. He was really tight on Nintendo licensing. It had to be certain video game-oriented things. Now they're making an animated Mario movie. There's Nintendo licensing everywhere. They did it on Google Maps a couple weeks, where they turned your Google Maps into Mario Kart.
Really?
On Mario Day.
I didn't see that.
They're starting to do all kinds of Nintendo licensing now, so it's going to be curious what else we get, because everyone wants a Zelda movie and everything else, so we'll see. I would love to, I think in a way, Nintendo takes itself the animated route. I'd rather see a animated Mario Zelda film or Metroid film than I would live action.
Yeah.
So we'll see where it goes. Yeah. So what have you been downloading, watching, streaming?
I'm almost completely done rewatching the 9 seasons of Dragon Ball Z. because my son is now into it. So I've just been watching everything. I'm like a third of the way through season 9, which is the final season. So
do you own them all? Or
I do own them all. Yeah, I do own them all. I do not own Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball GT or Dragon Ball Super. I've just been watching that. But final episode of Dragon Ball Super is coming up. That's definitely going to be on my next week's download this.
I've heard like you can watch Dragon Ball Z without seeing the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You can.
They're kind of like Gundam. They tie together, but they don't tie together.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
You can skip like 20 episodes and pretty much still be in the loop.
The only Dragon Ball I've seen is an occasional part of an episode here or there. And then we have one of the movies that Michael's uncle bought him. And I watched that. And it was okay. I didn't really... There were things that... I heard that one ties in with the show the most. Like, if you hadn't seen the show, there were things I wasn't sure was going on. But, you know, I dig anime. It's just... I've never gotten hardcore into anime series. Like, I'll watch movies. And, man, you know, we've been talking about doing an anime movie on here eventually. And, but I've never got hardcore into anime series. You know, like... I start watching them, I get away from them. Like, I tried to watch Ghost in the Shell, Standalone Complex, because it's on Hulu. I get, like, 3 episodes in, I'm just like, I can't get into the animated series
for Ghost in the Shell was hard for me. I really like Trigun, because Trigun is only 25 episodes.
Yeah.
So, and that's something more your speed.
Or even Standalone Complex, I think it's only 2 seasons, but still, it's just like...
Anime Western. I love Trigun. Carries around the big old, big old 6-shooter, Vash the Stampede.
I think it's on Netflix, I believe. Yeah,
a lot of cool gunfights in there.
Yeah,
you know, cowboy action stuff. You know, awesome stuff. It's old, but it still holds up.
Well, old is good. The movie we're talking about today is old.
Yes,
this is the oldest movie we've done so far. So, do you have anything else you downloaded, stream? Or are we ready to get into Planet of the Apes?
I am ready, man. I'm about to pop.
Planet of the Apes, 1968. So it's celebrating its 50th anniversary in about 2 weeks. I think it was released April 4th in theaters, if I remember reading right. And so we wanted to jump the gun on this. Huge Planet of the Apes fans. Anyone that's going to TrustMeOnMyJedi.com, which is our current home for the Rebel Radio Podcast, in about a week or two, you're going to go to TheRebelRadioPodcast.com. We're moving the site over. We're still going to be on Jedi, but we're going to have its own home.
Yeah.
And we've done articles on Planet of the Apes before. Retroplex Cinema articles, so I'm a huge fan of this series. Of course, released 1968, directed by Franklin J. Schaefer. And it's funny, last week I said, man, we've been on an Oscar streak by doing James Cameron, Catherine Bigelow, Steven Spielberg. And I'm like, I don't know if Schaefer won an Oscar. Well, guess what the fuck? He won an Oscar for Patton in 1970. And I didn't know that. I've seen Patton years ago. Great movie. But I didn't realize that Franklin Schaefer directed it. So Planet of the Apes was directed by an Oscar-winning director. He just hadn't won an Oscar yet when he directed Planet of the Apes. And then it, of course, stars the great Charlton Heston,
Moses,
Roddy McDowall, Kim Hunter, and a whole bunch of Linda Harrison.
Yeah,
a whole bunch of other actors in ape makeup and things like that.
So, of course, Linda was from Cocoon. She was also in Airplane, 1975. And she, along with Charlton Heston, were the only ones to star in the 2001 remake.
Yeah. You know, the Planet of the Apes franchise... You know, every episode we do, like, man, I love that movie. You know, that's why we're doing this. We really do love these movies. We're film fans. And Planet of the Apes, for me, is right there with Star Wars and maybe, I would think, Star Wars, Flash Gordon, Tron, Raiders of the Lost Ark, as that 5 to 10 movies that influenced my adulthood. I remember seeing Planet of the Apes at a very young age, watching my dad and didn't really know what was going on, but yet I knew that, man, this is cool.
Yeah.
And I've always liked it. And they would come on AMC or whatever over the years. And I would always stop and watch it. And 10 years ago, when I first met Mary, before we first started dating, I wanted the 40th anniversary box set because we had just gotten a Blu-ray player for my birthday that year. So I have the 40th anniversary set that has all 5 movies.
You have Beneath the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, I have all five films. Wow. It also has the awesome documentary on there. A great documentary about the history of the films, and I've watched the shit out of them. Yeah, I find them fun. Even the later movies where the makeup doesn't even get as good and they cut the budgets, I still appreciate them for what they are. And our current generation has the Rise trilogy, you know, Rise of Planet of the Apes, Dawn of Planet of the Apes, War of Planet of the Apes, and man, they're fantastic. But they have no idea. They'll go watch those and be like, "What is this? This sucks," you know, because they're so CGI.
Yeah.
But one thing I do like about the new trilogy is they made story important. It's not just about the special effects. But we're talking about the 1968 version.
Yes.
And, So that's probably my first experience with Planet of the Apes, is watching it at a very young age and always catching it when it come on TV for years, and just fell in love with the movie. And as I got older, I appreciate it for what it was as far as a science fiction landmark and how well done it was. When was the first time you watched the original Planet of the Apes?
I have a confession to make.
This is the first time you fully watched it?
Fully watched it, yeah. Yes. It's like I bits and pieces when I was a kid. I remember, you know, and then I guess if you count The Simpsons when they're like,
right.
Oh, Dr. Zaius.
You know what, man? That's fucking cool, man. Because that's one thing we talked about. We were talking about back in November, December, rebooting the show. We were like, man, sometimes it would be cool to do a movie that one of us hasn't seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to top me on that. I've seen most things. But you, being younger, there's going to be some stuff that you haven't seen.
And I had a big, like, oh my God moment at the end. Like, this is an awesome ending. And I had to watch it two more times to fully take it in.
Right.
And so I watched it three times on a three-day rental, 3 days in a row. And I got Jackie to watch it, my wife. And at first she's like, 1968?
That's how my wife is. She won't watch anything that's old.
And I was like, we're watching it. I bought her this, the brownie thing from Pizza Hut.
Right.
Pizza, you can order the brownie, you can add it onto it. They had an online deal. Right. And I was like, I'm buying you this brownie as a peace offering. I was like, you need to watch this. And she's like, I like this. You know, it's a little campy. Some of the jokes are a little campy.
It's a little weird. It's got that 1960s drug inducing weirdness where Charlton Heston starts laughing like, ha, 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 over it. And the camera zooms in on his face. It's weird. It's got its weirdness to it too, but it's engaging.
Yes.
Like you can't take your eyes off the screen because it's really well filmed, very cinematic. Camera pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
None of that shit like we get today where the camera's up close in the action. So you see these beautiful sets they built. You see the land. You see the apes everywhere.
They did everyone's makeup well.
Yeah.
Everyone's makeup as well. In fact, it was done so well they had to drink everything through a straw.
Right. Because they didn't want to mess it up.
Yes.
And it's one of those films that, and my wife's the same way. She won't watch old movies. Like, you know, some of the best cop movies are made before 1980. Dirty Harry, In the Heat of the Night, The French Connection.
French Connection.
Those are great movies.
Yes.
But some people won't watch these old movies. And I think that's a great thing why you and I connected when we met 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that you were a little more in tune with things than people your generation.
It's true.
Longer than 10 years ago now.
Older millennials have hope.
Yeah.
Because we're closer to Gen X. Closer. So I guess a little bit of that awesomeness in tune with the past, with retro stuff.
Right. You can't shut yourself off from seeing something that's great. There's old things I don't like. I'm not a fan of 2001. I think it's boring.
Yeah.
I can't make it through The Godfather. I think it's boring. but that's just my thing. I've never been a mobster guy. I love Goodfellas. That might be the only mobster movie I've ever really liked.
Is My Cousin Vinny technically mobster because it's got Joe Pesci in it?
Mobster.
It's mobster.
But Planet of the Apes is something that everyone should see. If you're ever into science fiction action, it's so important to the times then, and it's relative to the times now.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much, is allegory the right word? There's so much allegory in this to how people treat each other.
Yeah.
Because in the film, of course, you know, apes are the leading society, and they treat people like pets and slave labor and things like that.
Yep.
And so it very much becomes a story about how that he's a human and the good apes. Their names. Yeah. Shit.
Okay, crap. Cornelius.
Zira. And Cornelius. Yeah. And they see the good in Bright Eyes, which is Charlton Heston's character of Taylor.
And I just want to note that I realized all these connections with Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Which, if Frank was here, he would think, oh, man, they all lead together. No, they don't. They simply made the Rise trilogy with nods to the original.
Yes.
But they never set out to make prequels to the original films.
Yes.
They're just simple nods to it, you know, and that was their goal. They never wanted to, you know, and yeah, I know Cornelius is his son at the end of War for the Planet of the Apes, and okay, well, that's Cornelius in the future Planet of the Apes, but I don't think that was ever their intention. I think it was just nods.
It's just too soon after the humans died for that to be something. Yeah, it's very much a nod.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was awesome seeing all that, and then the monkey just spraying him with water the entire time. I was like, this is like whenever Caesar is getting sprayed with water.
Because in 1968, you're right smack in the middle of the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things in that about humans getting along with each other and things like that. There's a black actor in this film. at the beginning. He's one of the four astronauts, and yes, he is killed by the apes and stuff, mm-hmm. but I think it shows that even in this time where there was civil unrest because of Vietnam and things like that, mm-hmm. that you could make a movie where people get along and it didn't matter their race or color.
That's right.
The apes are all different colors and races. And I think that was what people, and I don't think they intentionally did that with this film.
They did a little bit of a nod to it because they talk about chimpanzees not right. being as, you know, as right. prevalent. And so during the trial, whenever Charlton Heston's character Taylor, is speaking for himself, he's like, are all apes created equal? And right. then Dr. Zaius gets all, you know, offensive, you know, he offended, and he starts lashing back.
Right. And I've never read the book. I tried to read it once. It's very books that are written like pre-1960 are very, like, they're just different than books now. Very mm-hmm. very languagey, very, a lot of exposition, very complex. And I've heard in the book that it's even more of the ape society. Like, they break it down to the different class of the apes, and there is a lot of that in the book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a French novel by a guy, Pierre. Whoa, hi, Wyatt. Yeah, Pierre something. And so I don't know. Maybe the book is more of that. But there is a lot of that in the book, but in the movie, but it all comes together nicely in the end and becomes a story about, like, you know, hey, can we all get along kind of story?
Yeah.
You know?
We can live together. You know, the humans aren't doing anything to you. You know, you just need to maybe plant, instead of, you know, complaining that they eat all their crops up, plant right. some more over there and, you know, keep them over there if you just want them away from your society. But yes, yeah, whenever he talks, I didn't realize how big that moment really is.
Right, when he says,
Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape. One of the
most iconic moments in all of film.
Yes.
And I remember when...
It's the number 66 out of 100 most quotable lines.
And when Rise of Planet of the Apes comes out, it's very similar when Caesar first says, no!
Yes.
And I felt that, being a huge fan of the originals, when I saw Rise, I was like, man, they were trying to get that moment.
Yes.
And I think it works in Rise of Planet of the Apes as well as it works back in 1968. So as a first time, someone who had never seen this film completely through, is it difficult for you to watch an old movie and look past the old school special effects?
Not really, because I'm used to...
You're a fan of practical effects?
I'm a fan of practical effects. I like whenever they put a little bit more work into practical effects and they don't use CGI as much.
Right.
Especially in those times, whenever CGI...
They built everything.
Yeah. Whenever they took time to... They took time to build all the makeup, more time than in Beneath the Planet of the Apes, right. of course.
They started saving money as the films went on.
Mm-hmm. To try and make more money. That was like, I almost rented it, but I watched the trailer and I read the synopsis.
Beneath is bizarre.
Yeah.
It's probably the most bizarre one of the five.
Mm-hmm.
Like these mutant humans and all, it's really weird.
Yes. They're yeah. like, let's make it even crazier.
Yeah. And then it kind of comes back to normal with Escape from the Apes, where it all takes place on Earth.
Yes.
And then the fourth and fifth one are like prequels that take place before Planet Apes, The Conquest and the Battle.
Yeah.
And they're even lower budget, but I actually really like those two.
Those are at least have the better story.
Yeah, that's what I like about the stories are great, even if the budgets are low.
Yeah.
Like Battle for the Planet Apes has some great fight battle sequences in it. And as a saga, I like all five of them. You know, I think they're enjoyable for what they are, but Beneath is probably the weirdest.
Yeah, Beneath.
And Charles Hess, that's why he only came back for a brief cameo in it, because even he was like, I'm done with this. Why this
no.
is no, yeah. you know. So you like the old school effects then?
I do. You know, minus the lightning in Beneath right. Planet of the Apes.
Well, there's lightning in the original too. Remember they're walking along and everything?
Yeah, but that one was done well.
Yeah.
The other one was like an old Dungeons and Dragons game whenever you're being attacked.
So did you end up watching Beneath?
I was going to.
So
you can preview like the first 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And so that's what I did. And so, you know, and then I looked it up a little bit more on YouTube, and I was like, nah, I think I'll just stick with the memory of the first one and use that as gospel right now. So, but yeah, seeing it for the first time, I was just like, you know, all his quotes, like, this is a madhouse. And I'm like, I feel like that's been used in another film. And then whenever he's like, you cut out his brain, you bloody baboon. And I'm just,
there's some really dark stuff. You know, what's funny is it's rated G, if I remember right.
Yeah, originally. I think it is rated G.
And that's insane for 1968. I think they may have changed the rating over the years to PG-13.
Maybe it's PG or PG-13.
But, you know, it's rated G.
They did. Yeah. What's funny is that...
But there's some dark stuff in it.
They were going to make all the women bare-breasted in the movie.
Well, the dudes show their butts in it.
Yeah.
You show butts now, you PG-13 easily.
Easily, you know? Man.
No, but rated G.
You can't even show, like, a piece of your cheek, man.
Yeah. I mean, there's no hairy asses in in rated G movies nowadays.
Exactly.
I mean, and... but, yeah, it's interesting. And the film is, like, just... They built all these sets with all these apes, and it's real intricate. Mm-hmm. They have these ways, these caves, and all this stuff. Intricate. When he first escapes, and he's trying to run, and that's when the damn dirty ape scene happens. You get a really good look at all these sets they built. You know,
mm-hmm.
from the housing to the room where they're having a look like a church or something going on. You know, and to the council meeting chambers. It's all like, and that's amazing. Now they'll just CGI the shit. They still build sets on sound stages. Yeah. Some movies still do, like Star Wars. Did a lot of practical effects for Force Awakens and mm-hmm. Last Jedi. You know, they built parts of the Falcon, but it's getting less and less to these kind of movies that
yeah.
you can appreciate the work that went into it. Because this was a very expensive production for mid-1960s. I mm-hmm. think $2 or $3 million was the budget.
$3 million.
But the film was a massive box office success. Went on to do like $30 million, which yeah. is huge back then.
33.
Yeah. And which spawned, of course, the sequels. And an interesting thing that Arthur Jacobs did, the producer, was he hired journalists to be extras on set and dress them up as apes so they could see what was going on and get firsthand knowledge so they could, because he would hope they would write about it later.
Yeah.
Brilliant strategy.
That is a brilliant strategy.
And, hey, come on, we'll put you in the movie. You're going to write about it, you know? And nowadays, if you're Michael Bay, Steven Spielberg, James Cameron, whoever, you want the press as far away from your fucking movie as possible because you don't want them... Talking shit about you earlier with the internet.
That is very, very James Cameron. And I didn't realize that Charlton Heston, he picked the ending.
Yeah. Because I don't know if they filmed them all, but they had three different ideas.
Mm-hmm. And he really favored the one with the Liberty statue. And kudos to him. He had good taste.
Yeah, the ending is absolutely remarkable. Let's talk about that a little bit because it's funny. It's like, it gets me every time I watch it. And I know for you, this is your first time to watch it. But years later, I still like, I'll be walking through the room, and if it's on, I'll stop to watch that inning because I think it's absolutely remarkable.
Yes.
Cinematography-wise, everything, as he's approaching, and you see his face, and he's looking up, and he's like, my God. And then the camera pans back, you see the statue, and he's hitting the dirt. You did it. And he says something, he says something real iconic. He's
like, you blow it up.
Yeah, damn you all
damn
to hell.
All to hell.
And you realize that he's been on Earth this whole time in the future.
Yes.
And Tim Burton very poorly tried to up that inning or do his own inning with his remake in 2001, which,
yeah.
you know, we won't talk about too much. There are things I like in that remake, but, God, there's things that are really bad in that remake. You know, and you just can't top that inning. And I think that's one of the great things that the Rise trilogy did. It tried not to be anything touching the 1968-60s films mm-hmm. other than connections. It didn't try to top them. They were their own thing. Don't cough to death over there.
Yeah, I know. I just caught a...
a pube in your mouth?
Yeah. No, you got me.
I mean...
That was a got you question. Oh, man, I don't know what it was.
So you said no, so you were doing that earlier today. No.
Crazy. I wish. Maybe tonight. but yeah, man, it's just... Yeah, you can't updo that film. That even though it's, like you said, it's so old, coming up on 50 years.
Right.
You can't replicate what that film was able to do at the end.
I thought a cool thing that Charlton Heston, you know, he was sick for a lot of the filming.
Yes, and, the flu.
Yeah, and that's why he's real red-faced a lot. There were rumors over years, oh, he drank a lot. Yeah, he may have drank a lot back Probably. Then, but it's also he was sick for a lot of the filming.
Yeah.
And in fact, when they had a test screenings, a woman walked up to him, asked him how he was because he had been sick and he didn't know who they were. And it turned out it was Kim Hunter.
Yeah.
Because she was in makeup the whole film, so he didn't realize who it was.
That was funny.
And, you know, also speaking of Zira, you know, at the end of the film, he goes, I could kiss you. And he kisses her. And Zira, of course, is one of the ape characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think this had to be the first interspecies or kiss ever on film. But, you know,
oh, yeah, on film. Shatner? Oh, Shatner, that was after the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that came, well, no, when did Star Trek air?
That is a good question.
I'll have to IMDb it.
I know. That's. I mean, obviously, Shatner had his way with the alien interspecies you know, relationships, but
66 to 69, so around the same time that Apes was aired in the theaters. But you know, if that came out now, people would be like, "Oh, you can't kiss an animal." They would call it disgusting or something.
I know, right?
You know, speak of
this film promotes bestiality.
Or speaking of Kevin Smith, James Bond, Bob Strike Back, interspecies erotica.
Yes, interspecies erotica.
But
man,
you know, but that's the point in the film we talked about earlier. It was a look at how relationships were back then in the civil rights movements, and the fact that at the end of the film, that Zira and Cornelius were taught that humans were bad, realize that they're not bad, and that she trusts this man completely.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think it's a kiss to be disgusting. It's a kiss just to show appreciation for how far the relationship had came in just a few days.
Yeah, and then I think it's awesome how they work in this this overly religious, you know,
undertone,
yeah, where this guy will go out, Zaius will go out and destroy, like, any evidence.
Right. Because Zaius knows that they're on Earth and that there were humans once, and he doesn't want anyone to know.
He doesn't want to know that they can think. It's like, you know, erasing the words, lobotomizing his
so they don't speak.
Yeah, his co-captain or whatever, yeah, so he can't speak. You know, doing all this to hide.
Would you put Zaius up there, being that this is the first time you watched it, as, like, a great movie villain? Like, in the top echelon?
Yeah,
In some ways, he may not have the same evilness that a slasher might have in a slasher film or a Darth Vader.
Or Thanos.
But he has this evil sensibilities about him, because he'll do anything it takes to protect their history and the ape way of life.
That's true. You know? I want to say, I feel like I've come across a villain like him in a movie before. I just can't pinpoint it. Like a evil preacher or something like that, basically. Yeah, I wonder. I'm going to have to think about that. Evil preachers. Talk about it next time.
Right. So, as far as Planet of the Apes goes, you know, a lot of people don't know, too. You know, Star Wars, of course, was huge for merchandising when it came out. But Planet of the Apes was one of the first movies that had a lot of merchandising to tie into it, because 20th Century Fox had so much writing on it with the budget and the money they paid for the novel and to make these films that they produced toys. Mego had toys and things like that, and play sets. And so there was a huge marketing push for this film and to gear towards kids and stuff to play with these ape characters and things like that. And a lot of those toys are very valuable today still, because they were some of the first real science fiction toys that were out there.
Yeah.
You know, because they never marketed Star Trek properly. Even Batman, the television series, was never really marketed. They had little toys and things out like that, but Planet of the Apes was one of the first films that had playsets and action figures to go with it.
I remember my first, you speak Batman, it's like, yeah, the only toy I ever had from the Batman series with Adam West was this, like, it was a stitched Batman little stuffed animal, like a miniature stuffed animal, fit in the center of your palm. And I think those were sold in stores, like, everywhere. And, you know, they really didn't have an action figure.
Right.
At least not that I knew of at the time.
Center of your palm, huh? He got worn out by, you know.
He did get worn out, but that's because I played with him as an action figure. I'd have him fight my Ninja Turtles and stuff like that. So he didn't last too long. But yeah. Man, this is such a good film. I'm glad that you picked it, because this was Mark's turn.
Got to experience it.
Yeah.
You know, but its influence today, obviously, is still, I think, any old classic film that has, I mean, there are some classic films that might not influence, but things are in this echelon, they're in the same level as Jaws and Planet of the Apes and The French Connection or Dirty Harry that we mentioned earlier. Man, Dirty Harry, dude, we're going to do that one day in this show. We got to do an Eastwood Dirty Harry movie one day. We'll do like a cop month and do like four cop movies or something one day.
Some buddy cop movies.
But I tell you, their influence is obvious. If you don't have Planet of the Apes, you don't have Rise of Planet of the Apes today. You don't have maybe a series or a movie like Alien Nation. Other movies that deal with the same things of getting along with people. I haven't watched Bright on Netflix yet, but I heard it's not that good, but I know it deals with similar things.
I liked Bright.
Did you watch it? But I heard it's very similar situations, these orcs fitting into our society and us getting along with them.
Mm-hmm.
So Planet of the Apes' influence, I think, goes very deep today on certain films and issues that people relate to today. Even the new trilogy and Caesar trusting James Franco's character and other characters that he meets throughout the three films.
and we talk about, we missed influence of the Simpsons.
Right.
That was like, that's one of the most hilarious things in you know, in the Simpsons TV show that I ever saw was whenever Bart and Homer are watching the play, and you know, he's on top of that arch where they're, you know, they put him in the net in the movie, and he's like, "Get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape." And they're like, "He can talk." And he's like, "I can sing." And then they play Rock Me Amadeus, but they change the lyrics to Dr. Zaius.
Right.
And then he's like, "I can also play the piano." And then he plays the piano, and then it zooms to the end, and he's like, "You made a monkey out of me." after he sees the Statue of Liberty, I thought that was hilarious.
Right.
And what's funny is, like, that was, you know, my extent of Planet of the Apes knowledge when I was a kid. Other than the new films.
Right.
And so, but this is very enlightening.
Had you seen the Tim Burton film before the Rise films?
Yes, with Mark Wahlberg. That was odd. Well, because you could tell that monkey chick wanted him.
I'll give it props for the makeup effects in the Tim Burton film. The fact that in 2001, he could have CGI'd it and he didn't.
Yeah.
I think that's the best part of the film. Michael Clarke Duncan and some of the other ape characters are really well done.
Yeah,
as far as Tim Roth, as far as the makeup effects. There's parts of that movie that I think are well done, but then there's parts that are just cringeworthy.
Mm-hmm.
The whole beginning, it's like, okay, let's just get to the ape planet already, you know? And then the contrived ending, you know, but it was funny. I remember seeing that and I loved it. Like when it came out, it's just one of those movies that you realize years later, man, this isn't as good as I thought it was. Yeah. You know, that happens now. Then there's other movies that sometimes you watch later, you're like, man, this is better than I thought it was,
mm-hmm.
you know? But yeah, man. So Planet of the Apes obviously influenced in things still today. And I hope they make more. I hope the War for Planet of the Apes isn't the last one in that series.
I hope not.
I would love to see a film several years later. We know there's other ape societies out there. Maybe they fight for land on Earth, and maybe Cornelius will lead them, you know, Caesar's son, and maybe we'll get a battle for the Planet of the Apes in that one or something.
We
you know?
Could. That's possible. I mean, I feel like, you know, ape movies, you know, it always goes back. It goes back to King Kong.
Nine, how many, if you count the Tim Burton film.
Yeah. How many times has King Kong been done?
It's,
you know, we can do Planet of the Apes multiple
times.
It's
a series I really enjoy, and it also had a television series done that ran one season, 13 episodes, only 12 aired. One of them, I actually have the DVD set of that.
Really?
And it's really well done. It's similar story, and there was a cartoon that ran one season also. I actually have that DVD too, called Beneath the Planet. No. Dang, I can't remember the name of the cartoon off the top of my head. But I have it also on DVD, and the cartoon is more like the book, where the apes have more things going in society. They have carts and like things they drive, and that you see the classes of the apes in the cartoon. It's very 70s animated where the backgrounds don't move, just the front part. But it's really cool to watch. The TV series is actually pretty well done. It's hit or miss. It just came at a time that it was expensive. And, and the apes, the popularity wasn't there. Kids were reading comic books. They weren't watching Star Trek on television. Sci-fi TV hadn't taken off. There were a lot of shows in the late 70s. Like that and Buck Rogers and these TV shows that came and went real quick after one season because they weren't all the Incredible Hulk that lasted several seasons. You know?
Yeah.
Television was booming in the late 70s and they were trying to find whatever they could to put on TV. And Planet of the Apes was one of those that was just a victim of only one season.
Yeah.
You know, but a great saga. And if you never watched Planet of the Apes, maybe we influence you to watch it. Don't think, oh, it's an old movie. It's 50 years. I can't watch it. It's a great film.
Awesome film.
So any final thoughts on Planet of the Apes before we move on to some sad news here in a minute.
And all of this was done off of a book that the author thought was his worst work ever.
Right, yeah, he didn't like it.
Yeah.
Amazing. So that's why you never give up on your hopes and dreams, people.
That's right.
You know, just like...
That's a good segue, a good caveat.
And so we have a 50-year-old movie here that's been around 50s, and now we have a business that is, 1948, so... almost 6 years old, that's closing down.
Yeah.
Of course, the big news came this past couple weeks that Toys R Us is shutting down. And man, this one, I'm not going to say I'm sad over a toy store because I don't go into as much as I did now. And that's a good point, is I think that's why it's closing. We grew up with Toys R Us. You're old enough to have grown up with Toys R Us.
Oh, yes.
90% of my Star Wars collection is from freaking Toys R Us.
My Nerf gun collection was from Toys R Us.
And, they're closing their doors. They're liquidating. It's a sad day for America, man. These old companies like Sears is slowly disappearing. There's no more Montgomery Wards. There's no more Woolworths, which is an old company.
Pally Royale gone already?
They're still around in malls.
Yeah.
Foley's is hardly anywhere. Yeah, they're Foley's disappearing. So, you know, it's just the way things change, and it's because of the internet. Things like Amazon, department stores like Walmart and Target that are causing a store like Toys R Us to not be there. But also, man, it's also their own fault. Everything's expensive in Toys R Us.
It really is.
And if they run a sales, buy one, get one 40% off. So you're not really saving anything.
No, you're
not. You know,
not.
They don't run. You can't walk in there and buy something that's normally $29.99 and get it on sale for $19.99. They don't do that. They don't clear anything out. People like you and I that have grew up in the Toys R Us era and now the Walmart era and Target era, we're going to Walmart or Target for stuff for our kids instead of Toys R Us.
We are.
So in some ways, it's our fault to blame too.
And Amazon does the same thing. It's like whenever I go shopping for Christmas presents, it's usually Nerf guns because we always have Nerf
no,
guns.
No, Matt, not you and Nerf guns.
Yeah, I know, man. And so, so some of these Nerf guns, it's like, you know, they drop from $20 to like $14.99. They're $5 off, 25% off or more. So, and they save money on the packaging by not using all that chloroplast stuff that they use for the graphics, which looks awesome, you know, but, you know, if you just really want to play with a toy, I mean, you just need it in the cardboard box that you get from Amazon.
Right.
And it stamps with the Hasbro logo on the outside, so well, it's legit.
Just like this current Funko Pop craze.
Yeah.
You go in Target, Walmart, they're $8.99. Toys R Us, $9.99. Some of them, $10.99.
Mm-hmm.
And they wonder, when you're $1 or $2 more than everything else, you're going to cost yourself business. But either way, I'm going to miss Toys R Us, man. Growing up in it, it was always a fun place, a magical place to go when you were a kid. You walked in there, you saw all these toys. I remember going back in the day where the aisles were just full of Star Wars and Transformers and things we grew up with, you know. And now there's like 4-foot section of everything, you know, because you saw a pretty big Star Wars and Marvel section because that's real popular right now. But I don't know, man. It's a shame.
I threw up in a Toys R Us. It was funny. My parents, you know, we were eating Mexican food at this crappy Mexican food restaurant. Just, you know, during a time when they would always pop up, you know, so you always had these fly-by-night Mexican food restaurants that pop up in these weird office buildings.
Well, to clarify that, in Texas, people.
In Texas, yeah, in Texas. That's how it is here. And so we ate. I didn't feel too good. And my parents are like, oh, we're going to take you to Toys R Us. And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, yeah, come on. We'll get you a toy. Okay, I'll go. And I'm looking at the toys, and I just start throwing up. And I just, you know, it just keeps coming. My dad picks me up, and I just, like, it goes all over the toys, like, down an entire aisle. So it's like they probably had to throw out a bunch of toys because of me. And then I'll never forget, it smelled like bad Doritos. And then my dad had to throw away my shirt, and then he had to walk out with me. Shirtless, and he just walks up to mom. We gotta go now. And they're just staring at him because he's carrying a shirtless kid, and he's like, isn't that kid come in with a shirt? But and then getting Nerf guns there all the time, and then me and my cousin having Nerf wars as a kid, it's like, you know, it's nostalgic, man.
Yeah, I can't top that Toys R Us story other than just, man, in the 90s when Star Wars figures started coming back out in the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I was taking classes like at HEC and U of H, man. So on my way to school, I'd be toy hunting. I was stopping at the Toys R Us up on I-10, not the one now. It used to be across the street on Bunker Hill.
Okay.
And then there was another Toys R Us over on Westheimer. So I would go hit literally both Westheimers, both Toys R Us's, at least once a week, if not twice, on the way to class.
Nice.
Star Wars hunting and things like that. So I'm going to miss them. And, you know, it is what it is. So Toys R Us,
farewell.
Farewell. And we haven't gone back yet for the sales because they're only 10% off right now. But we were in there 2 weeks ago for they do a little birthday thing if you sign your kid up at the beginning of the month. And they have Jeffrey come out and Wyatt's birthday. So he got a little toy thing and they gave him a balloon and stuff. So that was fun for the kids.
Yeah.
So that'll be Wyatt's. Hopefully that'll be his Toys R Us memory.
Mm-hmm.
So before we talk about the next movie we're going to do, we got a couple of quick trailers to talk about. We got two new Marvel trailers. One for Deadpool 2. Let's talk about that one first.
Yes.
You know, I bashed Deadpool before on the show. We know that. I don't hate it, but I don't love him. But man, I have to say, seeing Cable and Screen, this looks pretty damn cool.
And X-Force?
Yeah.
Yes, and then the cheesy X-Force shirt that he has on.
Right.
I'm like, this is the sequel that we need. It looks like a little bit more action. You know, the jokes, I feel, are well implemented. You know, you do them in the course of action so that it's played off of like a moment, you know, a a good moment in the film, something, you know, that is, you know, I don't know, it's hard to explain. You know, right, just play right. off of an awesome, awesome moment in the film instead of, you know, well, his fourth wall monologues.
And that's the thing, like, see, for me, Deadpool, because that's his character, it works if he's cracking jokes during fights. Where when I'm watching the Avengers and the world's going to end, I don't see Tony Stark or Hawkeye making a joke during the fight. But yet Joss Whedon would throw that in there, and it just kind of bugged me. Because those characters, that's not what they're designed for. And I know people love Joss Whedon, but I just don't think they're going to crack jokes during a major fight.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like speeding, you know? You know there's certain areas where you can speed, but if you speed all the time, you're going to get all these tickets. It's not going to look good. And I think that's what happened.
When I was on vacation, I rewatched Thor Ragnarok. It's the same thing. They're cracking these jokes in the midst of Asgard being destroyed. They're cracking these stupid jokes. And I'm just like, your world's being destroyed. You're cracking a joke. I'm like, it's dumb.
I just feel like, you know, maybe you put too much sugar in the coffee. Sugar's good, but you have to use it in moderation.
That's
like, in Ultron, whenever Hawkeye's like, we're good over here, and Cap's like, you know, beating the shit out of Ultron bots, he's like, we're not good. We're not good. And I'm like, that's a good use of comedy.
Right.
Yeah, you know, the language thing, I think it should have just been used once or twice. It kept being used off and, you know, throughout the course of the film. I'm like, I feel like they beat that horse.
But it works for Deadpool. And so, yes, I will openly say I'm excited for this Deadpool film.
Yes.
Amazingly, Mark actually is excited for a Deadpool film. Because the first
on
one,
record.
I didn't go see the first one for like 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like, I was just
that.
Like, eh, whatever. You know, I'll see it. And so this one I want to see. And then we got the other trailer. We actually got it before Deadpool. Was Avengers Infinity War. And man, you know, we were just knocking a little bit of the Marvel humor. But you know, that's one thing you didn't really get with the Russo brothers. They didn't overdo the humor in Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Yep.
And so I don't think they'll overdo it in this, man. But for the first time in the 10 years of films, this is the first time I watched a Marvel trailer and felt, man, that looks epic.
Yes.
The first trailer was okay. The one came out in December.
Yeah.
But this one was like, man, this looks like everything I want. All, was it 21 superheroes in it?
Everyone's Thanos kicking ass.
Thanos literally kicking ass.
Yeah.
The scene where Cap grabs the gauntlet, that was like Marvel wet dream coming in your pants type shit right
yes.
there. You know, I was like, wow, that's cool. So, man, this film, it's like, I hope it delivers.
Yes, man.
You know, it's because they're really building it up.
And I saw this freeze frame picture of Chris Pratt, you know, whenever he's like, why don't we just do what I say, you know, and Tony and Robert Downey Jr. is looking
like,
at
that's
him
horrible.
And he's like, his face is just like, you can tell he's had it up to here with his shit. And so it's like, you know, 2 minutes into talking and Tony Stark has already had it up to here with Star-Lord. And I'm like, I hope that's how it is. I hope Star-Lord is an annoying ass little ravager.
Yeah, as long as there's no turd jokes from Drax.
Yes, no turd jokes. No turd jokes.
And why does Guardians get a pass? You know, because like 2 is not that good. It's okay.
I don't think it's better than the first.
No.
I feel like if you watched it, it would be all one movie, maybe. A little bit of a drop off.
People knock the Justice League CGI. I realized when I watched Guardians 2, there's some really bad CGI on the Ego Planet.
Yeah.
Just like really just kind of, they oversaturate in color to make it look better than it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But we will not guard it. So,
yeah.
So Avengers Infinity War is coming out a little early. They announced it's coming out April 27th. Apparently, that was Robert Downey Jr. Apparently, you know, it was going to release in Europe a week early. And Downey Jr.'s like, why don't you just give it to everyone early? And they were like, you know, he's right. You know, so they moved it up a week early. So that gives it almost 3 full weeks to play Saul before Deadpool opens. And Han Solo opens May 25th. So I'm sure it's going to make a shitload of money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Black Panther is now the number one superhero movie of all time. It just passed up Avengers, the original.
Wow.
This weekend, and Black Panther is still going strong and deserves it. It's a great movie.
I really
enjoyed it a lot. You know, and Avengers may be the next great Marvel Studios film here in about 6 weeks.
It could be. I'm like you said, I'm hoping it's everything that we hope it is.
March 24th, so we're right about a month away. So, yeah.
Oh, man.
For some reason, I thought it was like 6 weeks away. So that's really it. I mean, any news I'm forgetting? I mean, it's in the last 2 weeks. There's probably I'm always forgetting something. But
I don't think so.
But you know, so the next film we're going to do on the Railway Podcast, and you said I picked this one. We kind of go back and forth, but we kind of mutually picked.
Yeah, we mutually picked.
And we said we're going to do a Guillermo del Toro film, and we're going to go back and we're going to do Hellboy.
What's your hands and elbows?
Pardon?
Welcome to the Bureau for Paranormal Research and Defense. There are things that go bump in the night, Agent Myers. And we are the ones who bump back.
Hellboy.
Well, come on in. Meet the rest of the family.
Abraham Sapien.
Liz Schumann. It's a beautiful name.
Don't worry, Boy Scout. She'll take care of you.
These freaks.
They give me the creeps.
Really?
Every time the media gets a look at him, they come running to me. I'm running out of lies.
If there's trouble, all us freaks have is each other.
What the hell is that?
Something big.
In the absence of light, darkness prevails. 60 years ago, they tried to destroy the world. They're back.
Master. Oh my God.
Behind this door, ancient evil.
Oh well. Let me go in and say hi.
You gonna be okay?
How big can it be?
Yes,
you know, which was his passion project from a comic, 2003 or 2004, around
three or
there.
Yeah.
So you know, we went and did a movie. It's 50 years old now. This will be the most modern movie we've done so far.
Yes.
But man, you know, when he won the pick, when he won Best Picture, I was watching Shape of Water. I text you, man, let's do a Del Toro film. Plus, since we still cover a lot of comic books and in comic genre, we had only done one comic movie so far since we did the reboot with Batman. So we're like, let's do a comic film, but let's not do something like super popular.
Yeah.
Let's do something that, and Hellboy is, I shouldn't say Hellboy's not super popular, but it's not Marvel level.
Yeah, it doesn't have a huge following.
And I love it. I love both Hellboy films, even the little animated movies they did. And
yeah, you could get it on DVD too.
Yeah, they're fun movies. They're really, really well done. Del Toro is a great storyteller. You know, he just won the Oscar, and he showed signs back then. I mean, it wasn't his first comic movie. He had made Blade too.
Yes.
You know, but this was more of a passion project for him. He really wanted to make Hellboy.
Blade 2, another Ryan Reynolds movie.
Right. Well, Blade 3.
Trinity.
But Del Toro, man, he wanted to make a Hellboy 3. They told him no thanks. So he's like, then he talked about rebooting Universal Monsters for Universal. He had his own version of Creature in the Black Lagoon. They told him, no, we got Tom Cruise. We're going to do The Mummy. Yeah, that worked out great for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So he went on to make Shape of Water because that was a past project. Worked out great for him. He won a fucking Oscar. He's the man. Great filmmaker. I'm looking forward to talking about Hellboy.
You said it all. I really like Ron Perlman.
I'm talking about 50 miles an hour right there.
Yeah, I know. You're like, and then it just kind of hit me. Like, I'm like, whoa, okay. Like, you had to slam on the brakes, and you just stopped right in front of me, and I'm just
you
like,
know, it's funny, because someone mentioned, like, man, you talk fast on the podcast sometimes, and I try to slow it down. And generally, the beginning of the show, I do, but as we get going, I get really into
passionate, man.
My hands are moving everywhere, and I'm like, fuck this shit, let's go, yeah!
We live, we die, we live again! And,
like, the other day, like, I rewatched 300 the other day because they put it on Netflix. And I had it on the background. I was working on the RebelRadioPodcast.com because, you know, I'm building the site. And, like, I found myself staring at it. Like, that movie still gets me all like, yeah, let's go kick some ass, you know? And so, Hellboy. So, you ready to talk about it next week?
Yeah, man. Selma Blair, Ron Perlman, the old guy that died 2 years ago.
Oh, John Hurt?
Yes, John Hurt. And, of course, same guy that
Doug Jones, who always does creatures for Guillermo.
Guillermo del Toro.
Dude, we'll talk a lot more about him as a filmmaker next week, but did you see the thing that was online where he was on The Tonight Show and they went in his house?
No.
Dude, check it out. We'll talk about it next week. Yes. It's freaking incredible. It's online. You'll find it.
Okay.
He goes, what's the guy who works with Jimmy Fallon? Ritter?
Oh.
You know, his little sidekick.
Yeah, his sidekick.
He goes in his house, and it's absolutely incredible. So that's the next episode of the Rebel Ray Podcast. Maybe next week, but it's Easter weekend. Might not be for 2 weeks. We're going to play it by ear. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah.
So we might take a break next week because of the Easter holiday. So before we get out of here, though, I want to say we are now on Spotify.
Yes.
So we had been applying. We finally got on. For those of you that want to find another way to listen to us, so we're now on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and, of course, iTunes. And iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play allow you to leave reviews. So if you can take a moment and go leave us a 5-star review, we appreciate it. It really helps us out. Right now, you can find the show on TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. Our new Twitter is at Rebel Radio Pod. We're on Instagram, too, at TrustMeI'mAJedi Official. That name may be changing to Rebel Radio Pod because we're trying to coordinate everything together.
Yeah, make it all the same.
And of course, we're on Facebook and everything. So plenty of ways to interact with us. Leave us a message. We have a voicemail, which I don't have the number in front of me, but it's on our social media accounts, our voicemail. So plenty of ways to interact with the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Yes.
And we appreciate all the support. And a quick shout out again, as always, Graham. Our UK brother.
Yes.
He keeps throwing stuff at us, and we can't appreciate any more than
we do.
Thank
you for the graphics,
He's just like, he's a cool motherfucker, man. I was messaging him back and forth the other day. I know he messaged us on Dread Eye's Facebook, but I sent him a personal message talking about some stuff, and just a cool dude. And he's developing his own podcast, too. And
Thorskin.
I look forward to hearing his podcast.
Podcast.
His podcast and supporting him, because he's been awesome, man. And, man, you know, and man, we're kissing his ass, giving 2 shouts in the show, but he deserves it, man.
Yeah, man.
I really do appreciate it.
He's out there, man. He's out there networking.
And if Frank scared you, we apologize.
Yes, yeah, Frank scared you.
So, but that's all we got, man. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk about Planet of the Apes. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, watch it again because it's a great film for its 15th anniversary.
Yes.
And we look forward to the next episode bringing you Hellboy. So until next time, this is Mark.
This is Matt.
And just go there and do it,
man.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.